A profex középfokú nyelvvizsga első vizsga szövegét fogja hallani. Kérem, olvass el az első feladatlapot, erre 1 perc áll rendelkezésére. Most 2-szer egymás után fogja hallani a szöveget. A második meghallgatás után 2 perc áll rendelkezésére az első feladatlap kitöltésére.
Scotland votes no on independence. The referendum asked only a single question. Should Scotland become an independent country? Scottish voters have decided by a large margin that it should not. After all of the ballots were counted, no had taken 55.3% of the vote and yes only 44.7%. Alex Salmond, the First Minister of Scotland and leader of the independence campaign, conceded defeat and called on all of Scotland to follow suit in accepting the democratic verdict of the people of Scotland. There are few facts that are key to understanding the referendum's failure. First, the pro-independence campaign has never been able to show that it had the support of a majority of Scots. Second, financial markets reacted negatively to polls showing the pro-independence campaign gaining ground, which may have convinced some voters that independence was too financially risky. The independence referendum and its roots in political differences between Scotland and the rest of the UK. Scotland is more liberal than the relatively conservative but wealthy and populous south of England. Those differences have led Scottish leaders to push for more independence, in order to pursue a more liberal political agenda. But even though the independence referendum wasn't about freeing Scotland from oppression, national pride still played a role in the campaign. The Yes campaign presented a vote for independence as a way to show pride in Scotland and belief in its ability to thrive on its own. However, promises by the leaders of the 3 major UK parties to grant Scotland greater autonomy in the event of a no vote, the so-called Devil Max option, may also have persuaded some undecided voters that full independence wasn't necessary. Right now, the Scottish Parliament already has the right to set and administer Scottish policies in a number of areas, such as healthcare and education, but others are reserved to the UK Parliament at Westminster. Under Devil Max, the Scottish Parliament would be given control over most of the reserved matters, with just a few exceptions, such as those that involve foreign policy or national defence. Devolution is already a point of contention in UK politics. Because England doesn't have its own parliament, while Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland do. English policy is set by the UK-wide parliament at Westminster. That means that Scottish MPs get to vote on matters of English policy, but English MPs don't get to vote on matters that have been devolved to Scotland. Already, some conservative MPs have said that they would demand that this question be resolved before further devolution is granted. Regardless of how the Devo Max debate goes, however, there probably won't be another independence vote. Alex Salmond has said that the vote was a once-in-a-lifetime decision, and that he would not pursue another one if independents fail to gain majority support. Scotland votes no on independence. The referendum asked only a single question. Should Scotland become an independent country? Scottish voters have decided by a large margin that it should not. After all of the ballots were counted, no had taken 55.3% of the vote, and yes, only 44.7%. Alex Salmond, the First Minister of Scotland and leader of the independence campaign, conceded defeat and called on all of Scotland to follow suit in accepting the democratic verdict of the people of Scotland. There are few facts that are key to understanding the referendum's failure. First, the pro-independence campaign has never been able to show that it had the support of a majority of Scots. Second, financial markets reacted negatively to polls showing the pro-independence campaign gaining ground, which may have convinced some voters that independence was too financially risky. The independence referendum and its roots in political differences between Scotland and the rest of the UK. Scotland is more liberal than the relatively conservative but wealthy and populous south of England. Those differences have led Scottish leaders to push for more independence in order to pursue a more liberal political agenda. But even though the independence referendum wasn't about freeing Scotland from oppression, national pride still played a role in the campaign. The Yes campaign presented a vote for independence as a way to show pride in Scotland and belief in its ability to thrive on its own. However, promises by the leaders of the three major UK parties to grant Scotland greater autonomy in the event of a no vote. The so-called Devo Max option may also have persuaded some undecided voters that full independence wasn't necessary. Right now, the Scottish Parliament already has the right to set and administer Scottish policies in a number of areas, such as healthcare and education. But others are reserved to the UK Parliament at Westminster. Under Devo Max, the Scottish Parliament would be given control over most of the reserved matters, with just a few exceptions, such as those that involve foreign policy or national defence. Devolution is already a point of contention in UK politics, because England doesn't have its own parliament, while Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland do. English policy is set by the UK-wide Parliament at Westminster. That means that Scottish MPs get to vote on matters of English policy, but English MPs don't get to vote on matters that have been devolved to Scotland. Already, some Conservative MPs have said that they would demand that this question be resolved before further devolution is granted. Regardless of how the Devo Max debate goes, however, there probably won't be another independence vote. Alex Salmond has said that the vote was a once-in-a-lifetime decision, and that he would not pursue another one if independents failed to gain majority support.
A Profex középfokú nyelvvizsga második vizsgaszövegét fogja hallani. Kérem, olvass el a második feladatlapot, erre 1 perc áll rendelkezésére. Most 2-szer egymás után fogja hallani a második szöveget. A második meghallgatás után 2 perc áll rendelkezésére a feladatlap kitöltésére.
Children's Rights in Ireland. Interview with the Children's Rights Alliance. Why do you think children's rights need strengthening in the Constitution?
Strengthening children's rights in the Constitution will help ensure that each child is protected equally, and the courts are guided to make decisions that are in the best interests of the child and keep families together. Over recent years, we have been shocked by high-profile cases involving the extreme neglect and horrific exploitation of children. This is our opportunity to break away from this legacy.
How do you think Ireland stands internationally when it comes to children's rights?
Progress is measured internationally against the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, which Ireland ratified in 1992. Indeed, Somalia and the United States of America are the only countries not to have ratified it. The United Nations Committee on the Rights of the Child examines progress made by countries. In relation to Ireland, it has recommended that children's rights be strengthened in our Constitution.
Where are are we falling down when it comes to the welfare and protection of children?
In Ireland, we believe we value children in childhood, but the evidence proves otherwise. Nearly 25,000 cases of child abuse are reported every year in Ireland, and we are still struggling to deal with them effectively. Too many children, over 90,000, live below the poverty line and are forced to endure the winter without a warm, waterproof coat and regular, balanced meals. More than 23,000 children are on the waiting lists for speech and language therapy, and over 150 children are inappropriately admitted into adult wards because of mental health problems.
What do you think are four practical ways to improve children's rights?
First, the amendment will put down an invaluable marker reflecting the values of Irish society that will serve as the foundation stone for making Ireland one of the best places in the world to be a child. Second, all children will be treated equally, regardless of whether their parents are married or not. Third, hundreds of children will be able to be adopted by loving foster families, many of whom are blood relatives. Fourth, it should help the state keep families together.
Why do you think it has taken so long for this referendum to be progressed?
Constitutional reform was first discussed over 30 years ago, and so it has been a long time coming. But the good news is that polls confirm the majority of the public want it, and all political parties support them. Though the issues themselves are straightforward enough, the wording of the constitutional amendment must be the best it can be to strengthen children's rights while maintaining the important role of parents.
Children's Rights in Ireland. Interview with the Children's Rights Alliance. Why do you think children's rights need strengthening in the Constitution?
Strengthening children's rights in the Constitution will help ensure that each child is protected equally, and the courts are guided to make decisions that are in the best interests of the child and keep families together. Over recent years, we have been shocked by high-profile cases involving the extreme neglect and horrific exploitation of children. This is our opportunity to break away from this legacy.
How do you think Ireland stands internationally when it comes to children's rights?
Progress is measured internationally against the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, which Ireland ratified in 1992. Indeed, Somalia and the United States of America are the only countries not to have ratified it. The United Nations Committee on the Rights of the Child examines progress made by countries. In relation to Ireland, it has recommended that children's rights be strengthened in our Constitution.
Where are we falling down when it comes to the welfare and protection of children?
In Ireland, we believe we value children in childhood, but the evidence proves otherwise. Nearly 25,000 cases of child abuse are reported every year in Ireland, and we are still struggling to deal with them effectively. Too many children, over 90,000, live below the poverty line and are forced to endure the winter without a warm, waterproof coat and regular, balanced meals. More than 23,000 children are on the waiting lists for speech and language therapy, and over 150 children are inappropriately admitted into adult wards because of mental health problems.
What do you think are four practical ways to improve children's rights?
First, the amendment will put down an invaluable marker reflecting the values of Irish society that will serve as the foundation stone for making Ireland one of the best places in the world to be a child. Second, all children will be treated equally, regardless of whether their parents are married or not. Third, hundreds of children will be able to be adopted by loving foster families, many of whom are blood relatives. Fourth, it should help the state keep families together.
Why do you think it has taken so long for this referendum to be progressed?
Constitutional reform was first discussed over 30 years ago, and so it has been a long time coming. But the good news is that polls confirm the majority of the public want it, and all political parties support them. Though the issues themselves are straightforward enough, the wording of the constitutional amendment must be the best it can be to strengthen children's rights while maintaining the important role of parents.